Hey everyone, this is Teddy Sears from The Flash and 24 Legacy, and you are listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Flash fans, comic book fans, nerds and geeks around the world, welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host and fellow geek, Joe Stuber. And we are continuing to run at full speed with Flashback, Flash Forward February. This is my month-long celebration of DC Comics' fastest man alive, The Flash. I love the character. I love the 90s show. I love the animated versions. I certainly love the current live-action show on the CW. Man, so much Flash goodness out there. Hope you caught my conversations with Kid Flash from the current show, Kenan Lonsdale. He stopped by. Also, Animated Flash from Justice League Action, Charlie Schlatter. He was here last week. Today, from Season 2 of The Flash, actor Teddy Sears. He's going to be along in just a few moments. Now, okay, fair warning. If you have not seen Season 2 of The Flash yet, well, okay, first, what are you waiting for? If you're listening to this podcast, you probably have seen it. But, okay, second, yeah, we're going to talk all about Season 2 today. If you haven't seen it yet, we're going to spoil everything. All the twists, all the turns, the surprises, everything, the finale, the crazy moments. So fair warning, if you're just catching up on Season 2 of The Flash, whether it's Blu-ray or on Netflix or wherever you're catching up with it. So we're going to spoil everything. All right. Now, some of you listeners might already know this. I had a chance to chat with Teddy last year when I moderated his Q&A at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. You can watch that entire Q&A. It's on YouTube. I also included the audio of it back on episode 149 of Comic Book Central, so I put that in. Man, got into a lot of crazy cool stuff with Teddy, including his take on Hunter Zolomon's, that's his character he plays in The Flash, Hunter Zolomon's mugshot, and why nobody could figure out it was the same guy as the guy who was pretending to be The Flash on Earth 2. We talked about that. We also talked about his role as Batman on The Late Show with David Letterman. Yeah, that actually happened. So some really fun moments with Teddy during that Q&A. If you haven't heard it, again, YouTube, the whole thing is there. Or episode 149 of Comic Book Central. That episode was my treasury-sized adventure at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. So not only do you get my Q&A with Teddy Sears, there's also my Q&As with Adam Baldwin from Firefly, Karen Fukuhara from Suicide Squad, oh, the lovely Lee Merriweather, Catwoman from the Batman 66 feature film. All those Q&As are on there. I also caught up with Gotham's David Mazouz, many others. So if you haven't heard that episode yet, be sure to check it out after you listen to today's show. All right, as I mentioned, Teddy was featured in Season 2 of The Flash. If you want to score Season 1 of The Flash on Blu-ray absolutely free, you have come to the right place. All this month on Comic Book Central, I'm giving you a chance to share the lair. Look, every episode I give you a chance to share the lair, but this time you might be able to snag the Blu-ray set, Flash Season 1, thanks to the fine folks at Warner Brothers. Details on that are coming up at the end of today's show. And if you're new to Comic Book Central, man, welcome to the lair. You can catch up on these past episodes that I'm talking about, including a ton of Flash-themed content. So many conversations out there. You can download them or stream them at the website, comicbookcentral.net. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you're in iTunes, leave a review. Always appreciate that. Tell people what you think of the show. If you're loving what you're hearing, give it a 5-star review. Blueberry, Stitcher, Google Play, the lair's out there. It's everywhere, all those services. I also post the latest episode each and every Saturday on Facebook and Twitter, so links to those social media pages are on the website, comicbookcentral.net. All right, lots of good stuff to get to today. Let's get some Star Labs intel on my special guest. Then I will zoom right back to chat with Zoom himself, Teddy Sears. Teddy Sears was born in the nation's capital and raised in Chevy Chase, Maryland. He was a stellar student and athlete at the University of Maryland, and he earned a business degree at the University of Virginia. But sports and business were not the career paths he ultimately selected. He wanted to be creative, and he discovered his true calling was acting. Starting on the ABC soap opera One Life to Live, he ultimately landed guest roles on shows like Law & Order, CSI Miami, and Mad Men. And he scored feature roles on the TNT legal series Raising the Bar, and Masters of Sex, Showtime's drama about researchers Masters and Johnson. In 2015, producers Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg were looking for the next big villain for season 2 of The Flash. And in typical Flash fashion, a bit of metahuman misdirection kept everyone guessing all season long. Teddy was first brought in as Jay Garrick, The Flash, hero of Earth 2. Yes, the Golden Age Flash, the first Scarlet Speedster to appear in comic books back in 1940. He was brought to life, kind of. Before long, it was revealed that Teddy was actually playing Hunter Zolomon, a serial killer on Earth 2 who gains super speed, masquerades as Jay Garrick, and wreaks havoc for Team Flash on Earth 1 as the villainous speedster Zoom.
Why the charade? Running around dressed like the Flash. To give people hope, Detective. Hope. So I can rip it away from them. It's so fun pretending to be a hero.
You are no hero. You're nothing but a monster.
In one of the show's most terrifying and unforgettable moments, Hunter squares off against Barry Allen, played by Grant Gustin, with the life of Barry's father, played by 90s Flash, John Wesley Shipp, hanging in the balance.
Dad? It's poetic, returning to your childhood home.
Jay, don't do this. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Take me. Kill me.
No!
You still won't believe me that you and I are the same.
Come on, Barry, come on. Look at me, son. Look at me.
So I'm gonna have to make you believe me.
Whatever happens, you have made me the happiest father.
Dad? This time, you're gonna watch your parent die just like I did.
No.
And this is
no.
What's gonna make you just like me.
Your mother and I love
you. No!
Flashback, flash forward, February is taking a dark turn now as I welcome in the big baddie from season 2 of The Flash. He menaced Team Flash as Zoom on his latest project. I hope he's going to be the good guy in 24 Legacy. We're going to find out. Remains to be seen. Hey, kids, Teddy Sears is back on Comic Book Central. Teddy, welcome back to the show. How you been?
Yeah, thank you very much. That was one of the better introductions I've ever had, man. Thank you for it. Like, I feel
please.
More significant as a human. Thank you.
Look, I'm here to make Zoom happy. Whatever needs to happen. Like I said, like I told you off mic, you haunt my nightmares. You are scared. But look, I'm telling you, meeting you in person at Cincinnati, that was fun.
Yeah.
You were
really
like,
was.
I'm telling you what, that is a testament to your acting skills because like you play this evil, horrible guy and yet you're like one of the nicest guys my wife and I ever met. You were so nice. You were so crazy cool to the fans there.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
I
hope you do like a million of these comic book conventions because you were like the primo guest. You're like the guy. You're the guy.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? It's funny. This is a whole new world to me. I mean, having appeared on a show as awesome as Flash, but I did a ton of episodes, which of course... And my part was significant enough that sort of, you know, that endeared me into the universe, you know, the fandom universe. And so, yes, I've been to quite a few so far in the last, I honestly started, it was about 12 months ago. It was January of last year. And I just fell in love immediately, man. It was so much fun to meet and interact one-on-one with the fans, man. I mean, listen, the fans keep us in business. They keep us on the air. They buy the books and they buy the pops and they send fan art and they, you know, they gather in front of their TVs with their families or by themselves once a week, ritualistically. And I just loved it. It sort of cracked me open in a wonderful way to this whole new world. And I look forward to doing more of them. I just think it was so much fun for me to play a guy that's sort of so outside of the realm of who I am day to day. And you, it was a very nice intro. I like to think that I'm just a normal dude who goes to work and goes home. No, and goes home at the end of the day. And the only exception is the work is one, public, and two, it can vary so wildly from how I am day to day. And that is really fun. It's fun to to, you know, have different faces and to try different things. And I'm glad it went well last season. What else can I say?
Yeah. Well, for a TV guy, that's got to get you stoked too, because on set, you don't get that instant feedback. You get a director, you get some people, you feed off the other actors, but to be in amongst thousands of fans and just get, it's almost got to be like a theater experience, I would think, of just getting that instant reaction of like, we love watching you.
Right. For better or worse, I don't. Well, it's funny. Yeah. I don't feed off of it. You know, like there are some actors who really feed off of it and they need it. And you know, if you take it to the unhealthy place, they need it to feel appreciated and loved. I don't. I just genuinely enjoy it. It actually makes me a little bit. You know, puts me back on my heels.
Your shoes a lot. Like you did look at your feet a lot while we were talking. Like when we got into like your performance. Yeah, I did notice that. Well, but that's kind of cool too.
Well, it gets a little bit strange to talk about to talk about me, I suppose. And yet here I am on a podcast, but at least you don't have to see me, you know, there's no true interaction there. Yeah.
There's an anonymity to this.
I remember being astounded because I was the only one up there? Was it just me? I feel like it was just me.
Oh yeah, no. It was you, and you had a good sized crowd, and you had like a little flash dude that came up and like got in your face like a Zoom. He said he was gonna come at you, and
I remember that guy.
We talked about Hunter Zolomon and his crazy Charles Manson look, and
Right. Yeah, well I remember being like, oh my God. Usually when I do panels I'm one I'm in a group, you know, I'm one of three or four, and I didn't expect anybody to show up to it just being me. But so that was cool. That was sort of a I'm looking at my shoes right now, actually.
I know. Yeah, I can tell. That's you're a very humble guy, and that's what we love about you. That I know that comes across though. Look, we got to chat during the Q&A briefly about 24 Legacy. It's coming, it's after the Super Bowl. It's gonna be awesome. It's here.
Yeah, no, that's what's crazy is now on the other side of that. Yeah. Not only did it air after the Super Bowl, but then episode 2 aired the following night on Monday, and so now we're off and running.
Yeah, I'm sorry Tom Brady had to go like all Tom Brady on the Falcons and mess up the premiere. Were you having like a Super Bowl party and hey guys, it's 24 is coming out, and then all of a sudden it's like midnight or something, whatever it is.
It's funny. You know, so I went to one of the cast members has a good sized apartment. We actually, you know, we shoot 24 Legacy in Atlanta. So we, you know,
was this Eric Carter? Did you go to Eric Carter's Super Bowl party?
No, he was at the Super Bowl. He and Jimmy Smits went. As a guest of Fox, those guys. It was his name's actually Thomas. He plays Eric's brother.
Maybe.
You know, in 24 fashion, things aren't always what they seem at first. He's a wonderful actor. And he was in that great HBO, I guess you'd call it a mini, The Night Of. He was in prison for a couple episodes, sort of buddying up to the Riz.
He gives me the willies on this.
Yeah, and he's also very British, and again, a guy who wears a mask. You would never know. One of the sweeter guys you'll meet. Anyway, he hosted a get-together at his apartment, so all the cast that was in town. It was Dan Bukatinsky, Miranda Otto, Coral Pena. Sheila was out of town, and it was Anna Diop. It was five or six of us.
Okay.
And then there was a bunch of, you know, like Black Panther is shooting in town, and Ashley somehow knows some of the cast from Black Panther. So we had, you know, Winston Duke, who plays Manape. Like, we had some really great, you know, and like, well, what's crazy is the night before
Marvel versus DC going
Marvel
at it.
Marvel versus DC. Winston, I met Winston, talked to him quite a bit. I'm not used to looking up to someone else when I talked. It's like when I met Jason Momoa at a show. It's like I'm not used to looking up at another human who also happens to be like twice my size. So there's an instant sort of yes, sir, whatever you say, sir. You know, like thing that
you're
comes
a tall
out
dude.
Of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm for those dude. I'm about 6'4", and so these dudes are 6'5", and they're big as a house. So anyway, yes, we watched the game. I stopped watching because I thought Atlanta had it in the bag, and I was chit-chatting with someone here, and I'm chatting with someone there, and I look over my shoulder, and suddenly, you know, the gap is 8 points, and then Maybe the best thing that could have happened to our show is that Tom Brady wrapped it up so quickly in overtime.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, like, if people bailed, like, after Lady Gaga took a leap, you know, and it was like, boy, like, everything was going against you guys, and it came on so late, but it's 24, like, it's, like, people are watching. Oh. I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I don't know how he did, and I don't want you to tell me. I don't know how the ratings were. I don't care. I
hope you don't watch. No, you don't watch stuff.
No, I don't, because it doesn't affect what I do, you
I
know,
love that.
For work. And yeah. So I don't know how he did. I hope he did fine. I mean, I hope he did fine enough to come back again and do it next year. And that's literally all you can ask for year to year, is that the network wants to give you another crack. So, but it was fun. It was really fun. I had seen it before. The pilot, and so, but I'd never seen it with a group quite like this who hadn't seen
okay,
it before.
Okay, so
it
you actually watched the pilot this time?
Yes. So
okay, because I know you, when we last talked, like, you don't watch your work. So I was wondering, like, if you actually watched your work this time.
I did, yes. It's so funny. I didn't watch any of Flash Season 2, but I did watch this pilot, and I'm not really in it. So, I struggled through my stuff, and it was fine. But,
yeah, you took a taser, like, right off the, I'm like, oh, come on, don't taser Teddy Sears.
Oh, tased and confused, right from the get-go.
I'm like, just, he's not, where's, yeah, but you're like, okay, so as we record this, episode 2 has aired.
Yes.
When the audience hears this next week, it's episode 3 will air. So I'm hoping as we talk, like, you're, like, really in episode 3. Here's the thing, my wife and I are watching this. Okay, my wife and I are watching this, and we're like, okay, thankfully, they're making it look like he's the mole. Because, look, I don't know how much you've seen of 24 days 1 through 9. But, they're like, every season has a mole. Every season, there's always a mole. And I'm like, okay, they're telling us he's the mole in episode 1. That must mean he's not the mole.
You know what's funny is a friend I play hockey with, which is something I like to do for fun. One of my teammates reached out to me that night. He said, okay, well, clearly, since they're introducing you as the mole in episode 1, you're not the mole, because that's not what they do. It's never the first person.
Never.
And so as we're talking, so this, our podcast will come out after episode 3?
Yes,
will
after hour 3. This will be after hour 3.
After hour 3. So then I can safely say at this point, we all know that what happened in episode 1 and 2 was just simply classic 24 misdirection. I am through and through a CTU loyalist.
You're a good guy. Okay, good.
I am one of the good guys in this show.
Because we're looking, like, we got, you were the mole on Flash. We got that.
I know, exactly.
Okay, quick question. Worse internal security, CTU or Star Labs?
Let's talk in episode 12. How about that?
Okay, that's fair enough.
When we've seen more of what's to come.
These places are like supposed to be the most secure things in the universe, and everybody breaks in. They're even joking about it on The Flash now.
You would think that you could just pull up right outside and park your car and just, like, walk right, just open a door and walk right into the bullpen.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's sort of how you're meant to think. No, yeah, it's I have a lot more to do once episode 3 gets underway. Hour 3,
okay,
which our guests will have seen by now. And so yeah, not much to do in 1 and 2, but it was because of that sort of misdirection that they wanted to throw.
Yeah,
us.
I'm like, he was zooming the other one. I'm like, he ain't the mole, so we're good. Teddy Sears is going to be cool in this one. One original character is coming back. We know they've announced Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, the guy you can't kill. Apparently, he's like, it's like he's in Flashpoint or something.
He's like
he just keeps coming back. He's got doppelgangers or something. Who knows? Maybe another one might be coming back. Mary Lynn Rice Cobb. I mean, maybe, who knows? Kiefer Sutherland.
I don't know. Well,
have you met Kiefer Sutherland?
I can tell you safely.
He's a producer. He's your boss.
Well, yeah. He is. He's an executive producer because he was that show the first time around.
Yeah, so he's got a piece of the pie.
He's got a piece of the pie. And he's up in Toronto shooting Designated Survivor. And I can't see ABC saying, yeah, sure, you know what? Borrow him. Hey, Fox, you just take him.
Right.
You can have him.
Right.
Because, he's headlining that other show. So I would say very, very safe. It ain't going to happen in season 1.
Nice guy?
Never met him. Don't know.
Okay. He's your boss. I was just wondering if you met him. So maybe, maybe
no.
On the series.
But, a lot of the guys who are back on 24 behind the scenes, the director of photography, all the producers, writers, etc. Of course, they have history with him, know him, love him, have had nothing but great things to say about him and his dedication and like literally his 24/7 commitment to Jack Bauer. So I think it would be a welcome thing. But well, for all, maybe Corey Hawkins would be like, "Hey, what about me?" You know,
I don't
know Eric Carter.
I don't even know Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, he's really good on the show. And Stephen Hopkins directed the original 24 pilot.
He sure did.
Your pilot. Yeah. That's so cool.
Okay. Yes, it's great. We're in the best hands. Yeah. You know, and Stephen's been back to do more episodes. And there's nobody, I think, better in that world than Stephen. He knows exactly what he wants. He doesn't overshoot things. He also takes a lot of time with the actors to get us to understand things. Every single word thought that we have, he helps us walk through. And he, during the pilot, he said, okay, you know, we got us in around a table and to meet and shoot the breeze before we got to shooting. And he wanted us to know, hey, listen, guys, the way I shoot is I like to shoot this like a play. I like to do the entire scene without cutting. And he said, well, we'll rehearse it a lot. And then once we go to shoot, we won't shoot it much because we'll know exactly what we need. But he just wants us to be prepared for that way of shooting. And it was true to form. It was great. We discussed everything. We walked through it quite a bit. And then we shoot it and then we're done. And it is more efficient. And anyway, yeah, it's great. He's the right guy you want on your team to make this thing a success. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. He's great. We're lucky.
Yeah. And for fans who miss Kiefer Sutherland's Jack Bauer, man, Eric Carter is really knocking it out of the park on this one.
Yeah,
he got into the kind of Jack Bauer mode, like from maybe 5 minutes into the show.
From the get-go. He's a Juilliard-trained actor. He's from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. He's about to go do a Broadway play after this with Allison Janney and John Benjamin Hickey, 6 Degrees of Separation. Like, this is he's a real actor.
Yeah.
And he's got that great voice and that great face. And he's playing this everyman, you know, to a T. And he's not, you know, listen, I from what I know about the first one, you know, Kiefer, you know, he goes rogue, man. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Carter, you know, he's an ex-soldier. And so while he does do his own stuff throughout the series, I don't think there's this feeling of like, we got a loose cannon on our hands. We got to rein in. It's more, we're all at CTU. We're all, you know, helping quarterback this effort. And, you know, here's the thing too. So there are some times where he does his own thing. And then we've since gone back and sort of refined some story points. And so I don't really know like what has been reshot. Cause we have reshot some stuff to improve the story, but, well, whatever. Yeah. He's killer, man.
Okay.
He's great.
Well, that's the thing about 24. Like, I'm sure things get out or you can fine tune, but, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out over 12 episodes. And two, we want to mention Miranda Otto, who took you out. So yeah, if you can take Teddy Sears out, I mean, yeah, you got to respect her in this one. She's knocking out of the park too. Jimmy Smith, man.
Yeah.
Great cast.
Dynamite actor. Very, very committed. And fun. I mean, that's the thing that we got extraordinarily lucky, and I hope it shows up on screen. Like with the Flash cast, who all really, really like each other through and through. It's very much like that on 24 Legacy, where we just listen. Everybody likes each other on a pilot because you're so happy because you just got a job and like
everybody's working.
Everyone's working. Everyone's in love with each other. And then usually by the middle of the thing, someone turns into an a-hole, or someone pitches a fit, or someone like. You know, I don't know, disappears. And I have to say, with this group, we have an ongoing text chain. We have an ongoing Marco Polo chain. It's a really close group of actors. We really, really like each other. We spend a lot of time together. And we just hit the lottery when it comes to that. We got really lucky with the quality of the people. I mean, even, you know, Jimmy Smits, who I don't know, I just would assume like, Jimmy's too busy to mess around with us kids. You know, he's like, well, one of the funniest guys on our text chain. He doesn't write anything out. He just uses a lot of emojis.
Jimmy Smits using emojis?
He doesn't spell whole words.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
Jimmy's pretty cool. Jimmy's very cool, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed Jimmy Smits was an emoji guy.
You know what? I think anyone who has kids has gotten really into it. And that would be Jimmy and Miranda. Anyway, it's a terrific group. Great actors, and I think we're gonna have a nice little life here.
It's a, and for it's those a fun people watch.
Well, and for those people who were like, I don't know, listen, no Jack Bauer, no 24. It's not the same. You mentioned something. It doesn't contain Jack Bauer, but Corey Hawkins, Eric Carter character, I think you can get on board with him. I mean, he's Bauer 2.0.
Yeah.
It's 15 years later, 15 years since the original show launched.
Day back one, in 2001. Right?
Yep. Yeah, day one. So I think Fox has relaunched this franchise successfully, and we'll just see how 3, 4, and 5 spin out. I think they're going to be great.
No, it's a worthy successor. We're having fun with it. From Washington D.C. 2017 to Washington D.C. back in the day. That's where you were born.
Yeah,
in the nation's capital. Yeah, we didn't get to talk about this in Cincinnati. I want to find out what kind of kid was young Teddy Sears.
Oh man, timid, totally silly, total weirdo. I loved the stuff that set my sense of humor very early on was like very early Jim Henson, Muppets, Sesame Street, that kind of stuff. And my mom just has the wonderful sense of humor, and there was lots of laughing in the house. And I'm one of 4, and so constantly my sister and brothers, we were always palling around and having a good time. And we lived in a suburb of DC, so a nice leafy neighborhood where we could ride our bikes and run around without our shoes on and do all that really neat stuff and stay out late in the summers. It was cool, but I don't think I had really a voice or any sort of point of view. I really believe I was a late bloomer. I still feel like I'm coming into my own nice and slow. There was no peaking in high school. I'll put it that way. At least not in my mind. I mean, some of my classmates might be like, yeah, bud, you peaked. You're done. You know what?
You were more jock than nerd though, right?
It's funny. I was. The school I went to, you were required to play a sport all 3 seasons. And I did that. I've always been athletic. And I still, like I mentioned, I play ice hockey. I still do that to stay in shape and have fun.
You played football for U of M, University of Maryland?
I walked on as a freshman. So okay.
What position?
Tight end.
Oh, okay. Tall. You were one of those tall tight ends. Yeah, yeah.
And I could catch, but I was always 200, 205. I was a big swimmer in high school, grade school and high school. And so, I couldn't put weight on. I was not going to be their 6'4", 245 tight end who could block and catch, no matter how many steaks or pizzas I ate. It just, my metabolism was what it was. Wasn't going to happen. So I played, I transferred out after my freshman year, went to University of Virginia, and I graduated there 3 years later. So yeah, that's.
Okay. So athletic background in your family though, too, right? I mean, you talk about swimming. Yeah. And when I say athletic background, I mean like athletic background, like as big as it gets, yeah. Right?
My aunt, my dad's sister, she is a bronze medalist in the 100 butterfly. She won that in 1956 in Melbourne, the Olympics, I should say, I didn't say it already. And then my great grandfather, so my dad's grandfather, won gold in pistol shooting in the 1912 Stockholm Olympics.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic. It's just one of those things that, it's extraordinary. I can't believe, that's sort of in, I can't believe it's like in the family. And also, my dad's sister was so young when she won it, I don't know. It's like, it's the great grandfather. That's cool. But that's so ancient history. Like the other one is, she's living, breathing, gardening. She's normal. She's just an extraordinary athlete at a very young age. But it's funny, you said something earlier, like more jock than nerd. I've always been able to sort of to do the athletic thing, but I don't know, man. I never felt like a meathead. Like there were the, I'm not going to swear. There were the athletes.
Thank you for that.
I nearly did. Yeah. There were the meatheads. There were the dudes who were great athletes, and that was it. I don't know. I was always into the creative side of things. And not until I went to University of Virginia, I was playing water polo. I was like trying to do the club sport thing. Athletics had always provided some structure to my life. Like you go to school, you do a sport, you do your homework and like see your friends. And that's kind of that. So it was kind of my life in some, you know, in proportion. And I just remember switching gears entirely. I don't know what it was. I was 19. I was 20. I was just way more interested in creative stuff than I ever had been before. Kind of, I don't know, maybe trying to figure out some stuff about myself. And that's what I was sort of tuning into. And then eventually, you know, I got into acting, and, you know, I was really into writing and poetry. I was just into the creative arts.
What was the thing that got you into acting? Because I think you were what, business management in college?
Yeah, it's funny. It's a business. So I got accepted at
from jock to pencil pusher to
incredible actor. Business management was the only major in the business school. There was like a separate business school within the 4-year school at UVA, not Darden. That's the MBA program at UVA, but they call it the Commerce School, the McIntyre School. It's a school within the school. It's like, you know, the people who go there end up working for the big accounting firms. They work for McKinsey and Bain. They work for big consulting firms. They're marketing folks, you know, like, and what they always did is they would get a double major in finance and business management, in accounting and business management. I was the only dude in my class whose major was just business management. And the reason was, it was the most creative of the business disciplines. It was, you know, it was like, you know, when you business management, you can be, you know, like I took a class in entrepreneurship. You can take an organizational behavior class. It's not numbers. It's not theory. It's not, SWOT analysis stuff like in marketing. It's just like using your brain. Basically, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I didn't want to do any of that other stuff. And I didn't want to move to New York City.
It was as close as you could get. Yeah.
It was as close as I could get to doing something creative in business. Yeah. But I didn't know what the hell that was or what that looked like. And lo and behold, about a year later, I end up in New York City. I go to visit some friends. Prior to that, I was living – I went to move – I lived in Hawaii for about 6 months. I had always sort of had a fantasy about Hawaii. I'd love to move to Hawaii. And so I moved to Hawaii, and there was a girlfriend who was involved for a second, like a college girlfriend, and it didn't work out. So I went by myself. And I worked on a snorkeling boat. I was just like, yeah, man, you know, screw all those people working in office buildings. This is what I'm going to do. And then I got to Hawaii and I'm like, man, I'm bored. What am I doing? But I worked on the boat. It was great fun. A lot of people from the mainland were working these jobs where I was crewing on a catamaran. And it was great. But then I was just really antsy. And I was going to movies a lot by myself. I was going to the library, getting a lot of books out by myself. And I was into all this, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, the creative stuff. And I left Hawaii because it wasn't for me. I went back to my folks. I ended up going to New York City to visit some friends for a weekend. I'd been there once before and hated it years earlier. And then I go to New York and I visit friends, and it was wonderful. It was everything that I didn't know I wanted all in one place. Here I am 22, 23 years old, and I'm bouncing off the walls. And all my friends are bouncing off the walls in New York. They're just... it's like a playground, and it's really fun, and it's so expensive. And I ended up there because it wasn't like I got to go to New York to be an actor. Actually, it was, I really am interested in modeling. I want to do that for a year, and modeling, like, awesome. But you know what? The idea of that got me to New York, and I found an agency, very small agency that decided to take a chance on me. And that agency got a phone call. I mean, I'm in New York for, I don't know, when did I get there? November 15th. So I'm in New York a month, and they get a phone call from One Life to Live, which is the now defunct soap opera that was on ABC forever. Yeah. And they said, like, we got a part coming up. He's a bartender. He's got like two or three lines, you know, send us like, I don't know, five of your guys, eight of your guys or something. So I was one of the ones they sent. And I remember thinking, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this because this would make a great story for my grandkids one day. It's so – I just was like saying yes. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like – I'll do that. Zero acting aspirations. And then I went. I went to the audition. I, you know, read the lines off the page. Here's what I knew about acting back then, which was I knew what bad acting looked like. I just thought if I can be natural – and pretend this is actually happening to me and don't do anything fake. It's so basic.
then maybe I have a, you know, I wasn't even like I wanted the job. I guess I did. I don't know. I'm competitive, but I didn't actually think I'd get it. And I did it, and I got the job, and then I went to work a few weeks later when we were going to shoot it, and I was terrified. But I remember loving it. I remember loving the set environment. I remember it just felt like the circus. It felt like this. I don't know what it felt like. I just loved the energy of it all. And I fell into the greatest thing I could have ever asked for in my life. Because here I am 16 years later. I shot this in January of 2001. So here we are in February of 2017. And had I not just said, yeah, that sounds interesting. Why don't I try that? Anyway, it introduced itself to me. And I'd love to say the rest is history, but I knew that I loved it and I knew I wanted to do it for a living. Very luckily, One Life to Live brought me back quite a few times. And eventually I was signed to a 2-year contract. And then eventually I was fired because I really wasn't very good.
This is a time, there was a superhero crossover early on though, right? You worked with Brandon Routh?
Yeah, Brandon, yeah, who he wanted to be called BJ back then. BJ, BJ, such a sweetie from Iowa. Like, you know, he joined the cast not long after I did.
Okay.
We had some scenes together.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's just a great guy. Yeah, and then lo and behold, he's Superman.
Zoom and Ray Palmer and Superman. And yeah. Have you worked with him recently?
Amazing. No, and I haven't even seen him.
Really, because we know you're a good liar from your Zoom interviews that you've done.
Well, wait, how? We're like, wait, what did I lie about? I'm sure I did.
No, during Zoom, like when you would do interviews, you would, you know, as Jay Garrick, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, I have no idea what's going on and all this stuff. So
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
When I ask you if you've worked with Brandon Routh recently.
I can unequivocally say that I have not, because now I have nothing to hide. Like, I had a lot to hide back then, and I knew that I couldn't let the cat out of the bag. I also, though, was really hoping, it depends what the timing of the interview was, but I was really hoping that I wasn't going to become Zoom because I was having such a great time playing Jay Garrick, and there had been no mention for quite a long time before getting saying yes to the job. They pitched me on what the idea for the year was going to be, and I said cool. But then many months went by when the writers, you know, there was no peep, there was no indication in the script. So I was really hoping that I was going to be Jay and that was going to be the end of it. So some of the interviews may have been honest, and some of the other ones I know were deceptive because I just couldn't.
No, I love watching those. You're so good at it too. So when we talk about The Flash, if somebody's unfamiliar with the show, or maybe they haven't seen season 2 or something, like, how do you explain to them the character you play? Like, what do you say to them?
That's a good question, because I don't think I've had to really answer that. I will say, you know,
give me a name. Like, if they say, what was your character's name? Teddy Sears.
Well, I would say I played a character named Hunter Zolomon, who is also known as Zoom for the latter half of the season. But for the longest time, you're meant to think that I'm this other character whose name is Jay Garrick, who is essentially a big brother mentor character to Barry Allen's Flash. And Jay Garrick, by the way, is a Flash from a whole other universe, whole other planet. And I get into all that stuff. And if I'm explaining it to a 2-year-old, I just say, I was the bad man on the Flash.
And don't forget Black Flash.
And that's another thing we should talk about. So yes, Zoom turns into Black Flash at the end and gets pulled back into the multiverse by the time rates. And I have heard, which I didn't like that I heard it, but I heard that Black Flash made an appearance recently.
All right. Okay. Let's jump ahead. Well, they always go do time travel on The Flash, so let's jump ahead. Yeah. Okay. We're going to get to that. Okay. So you haven't seen Legends of Tomorrow.
No. I have not seen Legends. I know that Matt Lesher's Reverse Flash is he the sort of the big bad this year, or is he a permanent?
He's one of them. They have a Legion. Well, the episode that you're referring to is episode 11, Legion of Doom.
Okay.
So we've got several bad guys this year. He is one of them. But he's being chased around by Black Flash, a CGI Black Flash.
Right.
It's not you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Brandon Routh is on the show. He's your buddy. He's your soap opera buddy.
Right. Yeah, I knew he was on the show. But here's the thing: is I also remember hearing, oh no, there's going to be a hard reset between season one and season two of Legends. So it's not going to be all new people, all new stories. And I guess that didn't happen. But Legion of Doom is they didn't have that in the first season.
Okay. Here's your quote from Cincinnati Comic Expo last September. I asked you about this. You said, "I want to return 1,000%. Get me back there yesterday."
Yes. That's exactly how I still feel.
Okay.
100%. I'm 100,000,000,000. I'm going to top that number I said at Cincinnati. That's how interested I am. If Andrew Kreisberg is listening to this,
sure he is. He's a huge fan of the show.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. These guys know. I sent a shameless email off to Todd Helbing, who's one of the head writers of The Flash. And I said, yo, this is a month or so ago. I said, if you guys are going to go this route, just please consider me. I would love to do it.
Oh, okay.
And he said, cool. Yeah, we will if we can. When are you done with 24? And I'm not yet done. And I told him when I was done. And, you know, he's like, cool. And that's all I know about it. I mean, the thing is, they could just be CGIing Black Flash throughout the episodes, throughout the various programs in various episodes, and never need me again. And
yeah, because he's all people haven't seen it. He's all skeletal and he's like all decayed, and it's not you don't look like it. You'd have to go through a lot of makeup and stuff.
Yeah. And I would be happy to. I don't know though that they're. I mean, unless he's okay. Some. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I imagine I didn't see what it looked like in Legends, but I imagine since they've established Black Flash in this season of the shows, that's who this person would be, unless that CGI version turns into a costumed version. I don't know why they would do that, but anyway, I would love it. Okay. They got my number, they got my email, they know where to get me.
Okay. Well, I mean, you mentioned about Kiefer Sutherland. It's like, well, I don't know if ABC could do, you know, go over to Fox. And like,
well, you're right about
how does that contract work for you then? Do you like when are you wrapped on 24? Like, when was your last episode?
Last possible day of shooting is Saturday, February 18th. And
oh, so you're right there.
We're 10 days away.
Yeah, and as this airs, like, mere days away. So at that end, does that, like, free you up to go do other stuff on another network?
On another network, no. I think contractually I can do one. I think it's one episode.
But you couldn't go like do a series. Episode.
Yeah, but no, exactly. I couldn't go to a series. Now, anything and everything can be figured out, or it can't. I mean,
right. They did that with Heroes Reborn. Yeah, I talked to Masioka, and he mentioned they worked something out with CBS from Hawaii Five-0. Yeah.
Exactly. Particularly if there was something pre-existing, that's different. Like if it's Flash or Masters of Sex or something, which has been canceled. But there is, you know, it's potentially easier, but I really don't know the inner workings of all that, but it's certainly you can certainly discuss it. I've just been sort of, you know, preempted by the folks who put the whole thing together that, you know, Fox likes their people to be associated with their shows and don't count on it. However, you know, everything can sort of be figured out if it can. We'll see. Okay. I would love to. We just haven't even crossed that bridge, maybe because of my availability, but maybe because they just want to CGI Black Flash from here on out. Okay. I don't know.
Well, they mentioned he's going to be on several different shows, I believe. So
I heard about
that. Yeah.
We'll
see where they go. We'll see. But nothing definitive, but we'll keep our eyes open for that. Something we talked about at the Cincinnati Comic Expo, I want to revisit for those who haven't heard that episode. The Flash of Two Worlds cover. I just want to revisit that story again. If you could just just walk us that of the Flash comic book world, of the Flash TV world, that is iconic. And you brought that comic book cover to life. If you could just sort of walk us through that day of shooting for you.
Yeah, absolutely. To even take it a step back, I remember reading that script, and in the script in bold letters, it's like, and you know, they run around the brick pillar recreating the iconic, you know, Flash of Two Worlds cover. So I immediately, it's so funny, I just got goosebumps thinking about it. And so I went online and I looked at the cover, and that's when it hit me, man. I looked at that cover, Flash 123, September of 1961. I remember seeing that cover, and that's when it really hit home for me that I was doing something deeply significant. And I can't explain it. I know that Flash, you know, is hugely popular. I know that Jay Garrick was a Golden Age Flash. I know all that stuff, but not until I saw it in print did I really, you know, that I don't know. That's when it hit home. So flash forward to when we're actually there on, you know, they have this sort of, I don't know, crappy warehouse space. It's actually beautiful. So it's sort of like an old canning facility or something. And it's beautifully set decorated. There's plants and it's like dank, you know, there's dust on the floor that they got all wet. So it sort of became this sort of muddy, sludgy. It was an amazingly well crafted set. And I remember seeing the post, go walking over, checking it out. That was the first day I'd ever put on the jacket, the helmet. It was the first day I had ever been in costume, Jay Garrick. So it was a lot of firsts, a lot of sort of, you know, tingling going on. And I saw the sandbags, and Grant and I were asked to run back and forth because the Warner Brothers stills, you know, person was there and wanted to get some images of us doing it. So we got some practice runs in, and we both agreed that it was one of the coolest things we'd ever done. And then when we went to shoot it, it was so great. We were talking about, okay, let's try to coordinate, you know, like, okay, so you're going to step with your right leg first. I'll step with my left leg first. So we wanted to try to do a mirror image of each other on either side of this post. And, I had a hard time keeping the smile off my face, man. it was deeply moving for me. And I think that's probably when I really fell in love. And I've been chasing that book.
The original?
No. Well, I don't. And I know there's quite a few high grade copies on eBay because I look every day.
You think like Jeff Johns or somebody would have gotten you one or something?
It's funny. I didn't even think to go that route. I wonder if I could do that at this point.
I think you could, like, probably get one.
I probably still could, but yeah. They're on eBay. I just want like a very, very high grade copy. I want like a 9.2 or a 9.4. I want like a really, and that's like so expensive. It's so stupidly expensive, which is probably why I'm pretty grateful I haven't found one yet. But that's a book.
You're making 24 money. I think you're okay now.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd love to buy a house still.
Book, one or the other.
Yeah, one or the other. So no, but that's really I fell in love, man. I've really gotten into the books, and you know.
Oh, cool! So you kind of become a fan. Oh, so you've gotten like some Flash comics since then, like kind of going through the characters and things.
You know, Flash, not so much. I have some Black Flash stuff.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. Did Jeff Johns get you any Black Flash comic books recently? Like Flash 138? Do you have Rebirth?
I'm trying to think. I have to go downstairs. I have the first appearance of the Black Flash. It's a three-parter, and yep. I forget what run it's from, because there's so many, right?
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
so
yeah.
many
yeah,
runs of these crazy guys. But it's the first appearance. 138 sounds familiar.
Who gave those to you?
Oh, I bought them. I went out and bought them.
Okay, so you, yeah. Why did you buy them?
I bought them because, one, I wanted to believe that I was going to come back as Black Flash, and that still could happen. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then, two, I just think, you know, if I'm going to embody this guy, or if I, you know, because I sort of did, even though it was CGI. I mean, I still, you know, I had the mask ripped off, and the CGI desiccated my face and did all that stuff. But I don't know. It just feels like I don't know. I look at comics as buying art, you know, like buying art, great writing, something culturally significant. I just think it's super cool. So I wanted them because I guess I got to be the guy, kind of, and I want to be the guy again.
Are you reading anything in the comic books now that you want to bring to life that you'd be like, oh, wow, I can't believe they did this. Yes, I want to do that.
No, because I get them and I just put them away and I look at the covers and I don't
board.
Even, yeah, I'm one of those guys. I don't even want to touch them. Okay. What I should do is just get like some low grade copy that I can actually thumb through and put in my back pocket. But these I treat like they're, you know,
okay,
very special to me. Yeah. So I haven't, no,
I was curious.
Really dug them.
Did you get any of the look? You mentioned this, like that's when you fell in love with Jay Garrick and the Flash and that whole world. That's when we fell in love with you as Jay Garrick. Obviously, we didn't know where things were going to head after that. Did you get any of the backlash when it was revealed that it's Jay Garrick as Zoom? But once we knew where that was going, we knew that there was a real Jay Garrick. He was John Wesley Shipp. So right. Like everything was okay. But at the time, like people were like freaking out because it's like they made Golden Age Flash a villain. Were you getting any of that backlash? Did you get any of that, or was that all like Andrew Kreisberg and those guys dealing with it?
Good question. Now that I don't know what, if anything, Kreisberg got, I don't know how closely he pays attention to, but I think they do. I think they are very crafty over there, and they know who they're. They know where their bread is buttered, right?
Yeah, he tweeted out at the time. He's like, "Everybody, calm down. We know what we're doing." It's like,
gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's funny. I didn't get it. You know, like at some cons, I'd have people say, and actually, yeah, I still kind of get it. They're like, "Oh, that broke my heart," and I was really hoping, you know, I didn't see it coming, or like I really wish that hadn't happened, but. In a delivery that's been nothing short of like cool, you know, like, oh man, that broke my heart. Like, you know, it's funny and sweet. And at no point did someone like, you know, yell at me or bark at me or like, you know, express true anger. So no, it was, I don't know. If it happened, it didn't happen to my face, and I don't have a Twitter account or a Facebook account, so I don't know if people they don't have a direct way to yell at me.
It's probably good you don't.
Yeah.
No, that was crazy. I mean, it ended up well, but I just was curious as if you got any of that. You mentioned in Cincinnati that you wanted to get Jay Garrick's jacket that you were going to ask the costume director for. Did you ever get it?
Yeah, no, I tried, man. They gave me a big fat chance. You know, I was like, really, they're like, oh no, that's locked away somewhere. And okay. There's multiples. There's four of them. Yeah. I'm still gonna try, but okay. I've sort of given up because the costumer. I didn't even go through the official channels. Like, you know, I just reached out to Kate Main. I was like, hey Kate, and you know, just to see if she could slip me one, basically. And she was like, no, I can't. There's no way. Okay. It's not gonna happen. So
I'm always curious about we always hear about like the hero syndrome. Where individuals like might cause chaos in order to like, you know, solve the chaos and you know, we've seen that happen. Mm-hmm. How did you approach the character of Hunter Zolomon and Zoom and just kind of getting in the head of this guy who's got all these issues? It's almost like a reverse hero syndrome, almost like a villain syndrome where he became the hero to, you know, give people hope and then crush it with the villainy or something. Like, how did you approach this schizophrenic character?
I remember feeling like someone who would go to such great lengths to deceive a great many people and to play a part just to sort of borrow a line from the show, to give them hope, just to rip it away from them. To me, that amounted to sort of a textbook sociopathic broken human. And I remember thinking, okay, I know a little about that. Some, you know, I'd read some books before and researching other roles. And then I looked at Grant Gustin's story as a kid. And I realized, well, Hunter and Barry had the exact same thing happen to them. And this was dramatized. I forget the episode where, you know, an incident in their childhood happens between their parents, you know, with a death. And then one child receives love, attention, and support right after. And the other one receives nothing of the sort. And you have two very, very similar people who diverged, and one went one way, one went the other. And I thought, okay, so let me take everything that Barry Allen is and try to fold that into everything that Hunter isn't. And maybe throw in there someone who's so convinced and so self-righteous about the things that he does being the right thing and how it's so self-evident to him. And then I just tried to live in that and play with that. And that meant you know, I don't know, hanging out in some kind of uncomfortable places, and was challenging. I remember I was getting sick a lot because I was flying back and forth, but I was really winding myself up. I remember, you know, on set, and particularly that there was that scene where Zoom kills Henry Allen. And, that was extraordinarily taxing. When we did a lot of versions of that, and, you know, and Grant is literally, you know, he's crying real tears. And I was crying because it was so emotional, and that's not the take that they used. They took a much more dark and sinister and unhinged take. And I actually
cried as Hunter Zolomon on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
During it, just
wow.
The ecstasy, the
oh, wow.
The shame, the relief. I mean, there was all this sort of stuff happening, and I just remember, you know, like I'm on one side of Henry and Grant in his suit. Hunter's in his suit, and Grant's in one suit. In his suit. We both have our masks off, and we're both sort of mirror image. We're bookending each other. And there was all this sort of stuff happening, you know, on the day. And I don't know, we were sort of reflecting each other. I don't know. There was just, I just remember there was a lot happening, and there was a lot coming up. And I remember thinking, wouldn't it be interesting if that were Hunter's reaction? And that was the really cool thing too, is I was able to play on the day, not really knowing what the editors were gonna use to cut it together. It was always sort of like, you know, I don't know, within the same realm, but you know, to have a few takes be crying and hysterical.
But that's such a radically different take. I mean, as a person who's watched that scene over and over again, it's so crazy to hear that that's.
That's where it started.
Wow.
It's funny. That's, yeah, that wasn't a place we got to. That's just, no, I remember that's where it started. And the director, I think he wasn't so pleased with it. He wanted to do something less. I mean, there was also.
Was there a factor maybe he didn't want you to be too sympathetic?
Well, possibly. You know, and I think after I remember watching that scene back, and I saw it without sound. I didn't want to. I don't know. I saw, you know, someone had like. Video clipped it on Instagram, and I remember watching that piece without the sound. It went from crying to laughing. There was like a, you know, like a deep, I don't know, maniacal sort of laugh that it went to after that. And then the place where it ended up is exactly where it should have lived. This very, very direct, very angry, very. You know, I don't know. You know, with someone who's broken and sociopathic, there's a game that's constantly played. You know, and it feels good to play with other humans as a part of this game. And it all comes from being, I don't know, coming from a place of powerlessness as a child. And I think that's Hunter Zolomon to a T. was a powerless child. And there's a bit of a, yeah, that gamesmanship that comes from messing with other humans, I think was at the heart of trying to, you know, I don't know, tell Hunter's story. So that's a really long answer, and I'm sure everyone tuned out. But
No. Look, for fans of the show, that is like an amazing insight into that scene, because we see it and we know how it happens, but wondering how the actor gets there. That's interesting to see. What did Grant and John say when you guys were all going through that?
We all hugged at the end. I mean, John, especially, he was also really broken up because he's saying goodbye to his son. and I know he thinks of Grant that way. And you know, I don't know. We hugged. You know, Grant and I had I think we had like a post-mortem text. Exchange going on because it was such a wild day. It was so exhausting. We just leaned on each other and, you know, told each other we loved each other, and, you know, and then we just went on our merry way.
Oh, that's amazing.
I flew back. It's funny. I remember that scene. I raced to the airport because it was April 6th. It was my birthday, and my wife and I share the same birthday, and I wanted to get home. It was the last flight. I wanted to get home and see her to spend part of her birthday with, you know, but it was really our birthday. So that, to top it all off, I just collapsed in my seat and flew back to California, and I got to see her that night. Yeah.
Oh, man, after you're emotionally spent, that's amazing.
Emotionally spent, no voice left from, you know, crying and cackling and, you know, and yeah.
Oh, man.
But you know, there was a great sense of accomplishment because I knew I'd just done something I'd never done before. And that's also at the heart of acting. It's really, really fun to sort of see where you can take all the human stuff, the really unpredictable, wonderful human stuff that is not always what we lead with in life. You know, like when we met in Cincinnati, we talk, we laugh. That's how it is in life. You know, I think I'm upbeat and jovial and all that stuff, but you know, the acting gives you a chance to sort of go to all these other strange places and have it be sort of sanctioned, you know? It's like you're given permission to do that. And that's great. That's not a permission I give myself in life. I don't want to live my life that way.
That's amazing to get that insight too. Hey, one closing question about The Flash. Correct me if I'm wrong. Hunter Zolomon, Earth One. We've seen Earth Two, he becomes Black Flash. Earth One, yes. Hunter Zolomon. We've only seen him on a park bench chilling out, right?
Yes, we have.
That's it.
That's it. We saw him reading, and yeah, he's reading the book across the way. The book, by the way, was Siddhartha. No one's ever asked, but that's the book that they gave me to read.
Any significance
the day.
To that?
I don't know. I don't. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Like, that would be an interesting. No.
What is
I
it? I'm not. I don't know if I'm familiar with this.
Siddhartha isn't. Siddhartha's the story of how the Buddha found enlightenment. Am I wrong? Is that right, Melissa? My wife just walked in. I never read it, but okay. So that would be that's an interesting thing. He's sitting under a tree on a park bench with glasses on, you know, trying to find enlightenment. There, I remember thinking, guys, this is so ripe. This is so untapped. Like, Flashpoint, Hunter Zolomon could be your friendly neighborhood barista down at CC Jitters. Some real missed opportunity here, guys. I could be a part of season three, but they had other plans. Yeah.
But you could come back as Hunter Zolomon, Earth One.
Oh my God, man. Okay. Endless opportunities. Yeah. Yes, I'm there. I'm
like 52
in
Earths.
City,
there, yeah.
Somewhere.
They're in Gorilla City. They're going to Gorilla City as we talk. So
that's the one thing I knew about season three, that they were going to go to Gorilla City.
Do you watch? Are you watching any of season three? Or are you just like so busy on 24, like you can't get away?
I am busy, but I'm not. I'm never too busy. My wife and I are watching The Crown right now. Like, I'll find an hour to watch a great TV show. I watched the first three episodes. I was on a plane. I loved them. And I think that was when episode 7 or 8 was airing. So I hadn't been recording them on my DVR. So that's it. That's all I've seen.
Okay, so you're behind, but you can get caught up. They're in Gorilla City.
Caught.
Yeah, if they're like, you got to do this episode, you'll get caught up right away.
I'll get caught up right away. Yeah, and the really fun and funny thing is that now when I tuned in, I can do it and enjoy it because I know I'm not going to show up. But also, I get to see my friends sort of do their thing. And in one take, in one scene, you know, it's a big wide master, and I see Tom Cavanaugh look right at Grant Gustin and start to crack up. And I know what they're doing. They're doing the same stuff that they used to do when I was there. And that's having fun and trying to make each other laugh on set. And I saw that and I
instantly... so you could see some of that in the episode.
Oh,
like,
I
you
saw
know...
it, man. I saw it. I paused it. I recorded it on my phone. I zoomed in and I sent it to both of them. And I said something like, you know, and I'm in the air and I got the Wi-Fi going. I send it to them and I said, so I see you guys are up to your old tricks. Miss you guys. Love you guys. And both of them wrote me right back. And they thought that was so funny that made the episode. But you got to look for it. It's like in the corner of the screen. Tom Cavanaugh starts to crack up.
Okay. I'm hoping to talk to Tom here in a few weeks. Do you have a question for him I can throw at him?
What's up? No, actually, I can't say because I was going to give him some grief about his hockey team. And then if they face my hockey team in the playoffs, he's going to say, see, I told you shouldn't have said anything, Teddy. And he's really good at making me feel bad.
Oh, okay, so some possible hockey smack talk.
Yeah.
So you guys are still up to your old tricks then.
Oh, God, yeah. He's great. He's a big brother that I never had. You know, he's the guy who's been at it for a long time, whose work I respect, the way he carries himself I respect. So he's a guy I can't get enough of in person, but also he has that sort of older brother thing that I just love.
If you had Andrew Kreisberg on the phone right now, what would you ask him?
I would ask Andrew, I'd ask him what his plans are. Okay, I would ask him this, and, you know, I would expect a straight answer. Like, you know, this is, like, basically, like, I would want him to be able to tell me what was real and not worry about it. Like, you know, if it's he and I and you're not telling the fans, is sort of what I'm saying, is what's up with his plans for Black Flash on The Flash? And does he plan on using me in that capacity? And if not, does he ever see a return of Hunter Zolomon, even if it's a small arc in a future season? Hunter Zolomon, Earth One. Good Hunter Zolomon. That's a two-parter.
Fair enough. Okay. Social media, you mentioned Instagram. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm just on Instagram, at Teddy Sears. I've been on a long Insta diet. I posted something just before the Super Bowl about 24, but I haven't been on since, and I don't know when I'll be back. But it's still there.
Okay.
And I'll probably have a resurgence, but I'm enjoying not looking.
And
but
you're not on Twitter. That one's a fake. No. We know that one out there on Twitter is a fake one. So
is it? Wait, it really is a fake one?
I think there's a fake Teddy Sears out there on Twitter. It's a guy that just really wants to be you, because it is awesome to be Teddy Sears.
Oh, that's pretty nice. I still have my verified account, and I know that I shut it down.
Oh, maybe it is you. Oh, maybe it's a shutdown. I don't know. There's something out there with Teddy Sears, but it just seems strange.
Well, here's the thing. There's a million Grant Gustins, too, but they spell Grant with two T's, and they, like, you know, pretend it's him. So, like, they can do that. So, and I hope whoever's out there is having a great time.
Not as good as Teddy Sears is having. Teddy, I so enjoyed meeting you in Cincinnati. You were...
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
You were amazing. You're amazing to all the fans, too. Looking forward to more 24 Legacy.
Thank you, man.
I hope you make it all the way to the end. I hope you make it into the next day as well.
Me too.
Don't be
me
a mole. Too. Stop being a mole.
I know. We'll see. Fingers crossed. We're actually about to start shooting episode 12. And it's really, really fun how the whole thing wraps up.
Okay. Well, we know you're in the final episode then. So you make it to the end. You're a good guy. We know, right. Man. You're awesome. Thank you so much for joining me on Comic Book Central today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
He played a villain on television, but man, I'm telling you, Teddy Sears is the nicest guy in real life. He really is. And so far, so good on 24 Legacy. I'm caught up. There's a few episodes in. It's Monday nights on Fox. In the latest episode, Teddy is out of the office. He's out of the CTU. He's in the field fighting bad guys alongside Corey Hawkins, Eric Carter. It's fun stuff. I hope he stays on the side of the good guys on this show, because something tells me we have not seen the last of Hunter Zolomon and Zoom on The Flash. I'm just saying, I get a feeling. I don't know. Look, if you watch the show, if you're familiar with it, these guys and gals always come back on that show, right? No matter what happens to them, they're always coming back. We know Teddy's got the comic books. So, look, we'll see. You know, we'll see. What remains to be seen. So, whatever he's up to, though, you can probably find out about it on his Instagram page. I'm going to put a link to that page in the show notes for this episode on my website, comicbookcentral.net. I'm also going to put up a link to my Q&A with Teddy at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. So if you haven't seen that, oh man, it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun during that Q&A. There is a little guy dressed up like Flash that comes up to him and menaces him too. Somebody shot just that as well and put that up there. So I'll put that link up there as well too. Big thanks to Teddy for zooming on into the lair today to chat about The Flash. And if you want to get your hands on The Flash, just like Zoom tried to do, you might be a little more successful at it than that villain. I've got season one of The Flash on Blu-ray to give away. We talked about Tom Cavanaugh on the show today. Yeah, he was great in season one. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. That Blu-ray set could be yours, thanks to the fine folks at Warner Brothers. If you want to put yourself in the running, channel the Speed Force, speed on over to Comic Book Central on Facebook or Twitter, or both. That's even better. You can do both. Like the show on Facebook, follow it on Twitter, and when you see the pinned post for this episode on those pages, it's also got the Flash Season 1 Blu-ray picture attached to it. So share that pinned post on Facebook or retweet that pinned post on Twitter. Or do both. Again, that would be awesome. You get it out to even more people. You do that, you share the lair. That puts you in the running for the set. I'm going to select one sharer of the lair during Flash Month, and then I will announce who gets the set following Flash Month right here on the show. So Get going. Share the lair. Facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. Don't forget the network. Twitter at comicbookctrl. Of course, links to those social media pages are on the website, comicbookcentral.net. Time to hit the Comic Book Central mailbag. This week, I heard from listener Scott Doran. Scott writes, "Hey, Joe, I believe this year is the 30th anniversary of the Superboy television show. Will there be any chance to have any of the cast members on the show? Also, it will be the 30th anniversary of the last Christopher Reeve Superman movie, Superman 4. Oh, I enjoyed the interview with Charlie Schlatter. Take care and have a good day." Hey, thanks for writing in, Scott. Glad you enjoyed my chat with Charlie. Yeah, that was fun. He was very cool. Look, you're spot on about Superman 4. 30-year anniversary this year. I wouldn't count on any mainstream 30th anniversary celebrations for that flick. I don't think it's as beloved as probably maybe the first two or even three. Look, but Superman 4 has its moments. I can watch it. I can enjoy it. Look, it's Christopher Reeve as the Man of Steel. What more do you want? We do have that. So points right there for that. I will say this. That movie was on my mind a while back. I did reach out to some of the folks. I haven't heard back. Like you mentioned, 30th anniversary. Maybe that seems like a good time to revisit it. So stay tuned. Superboy, the TV series. That premiered October 8th, 1988. So we are getting awfully close to that 30th anniversary. I visited that series here in Comic Book Central a few times. Going all the way almost back to the beginning, episode 3. Executive producer Ilya Salkind, we talked about the show. And Superboy himself, Gerard Christopher, he was here on episode 32. The Kryptonite Kid, Jay Underwood, he stopped by. DC Comics, Mike Carlin wrote a few episodes, so talked about that. Would love to do more Superboy interviews. Would definitely love to do that. I will say I have reached out to quite a few of the folks who were on the series. Again, waiting to hear back on that. In some cases, it's been a little while, so we're kind of at the mercy of their interest and their schedules. So, you know, always up for a chat about Superboy, so you never know. So again, stay tuned. It's a great series. Would love to chat with these folks. And thank you for writing in with your suggestions. Very good. Folks, if you want to write in, just like Scott did, you can send an email to the lair, joe@comicbookcentral.net, or you can click the Signal Me tab on the website. You can also record a voicemail at the website. Let me know what you think of the show, favorite episodes, favorite guests, guest ideas, whatever you want to talk about. Social media links are also on the website, as is a link to Comic Book Central on iTunes. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe. All those Flash episodes are out there. So many, the Superboy episodes are out there. Everything's out there. If you're in iTunes, again, leave a review. That helps get the show noticed even more. And share the lair. Love it when you listen. Love it when you share. Facebook, Twitter. Man, share those posts out there. And look, this time would put you in the running for Flash Season 1 on Blu-ray, so you never know. Look, I'm telling you, you folks are a big part of the show. So as always, my thanks to each and every one of you out there for listening, tuning in, sharing it. Much appreciated. All right, kids, I'm going to speed out of here before Zoom or Black Flash or the Time Wraiths or some crazy villain comes strutting in here to make some problems. But I will be back before you know it. Working on a bunch of stuff right now. Some of it is Flash stuff. Not sure how it's going to play out schedule-wise just yet. I heard from a lot of folks. We're working out some schedules right now when we can record. So here's what you do. You like Comic Book Central on Facebook. You follow it on Twitter. When I know who the guest for next week is going to be, when I lock that in, you are going to be first to know. I'm going to post it on there. I'll tell you who's going to be closing out Flash Month. Again, while you're at it, share the pinned posts on Facebook and Twitter. Team Flash Season 1, they might be headed your way. Until next week, watch as many comic book shows and movies as you can. Keep reading those comics. And thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivations 3.0 imported license. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective holders.
And it's live! And today should be dynamite! I think Carlotta's going to let Antonio's girlfriend Carrie have it for being $50,000 in debt. And things are really heating up in Las Vegas, too, with Max trying to keep everybody calm as Roxy keeps stirring up trouble. And what is it with Nikki? She's desperate to dump Ben, so she's putting the make on his brother, Bo. And after all this time, Blair's finally gonna let Todd have it for lying to her about her baby being dead. I mean, I can't wait to see it all happen. Next, live. Now, here's one life to live.
Ah, Chad, buddy. Thanks for coming. Can I get you something?
No, actually, I'm running way late, so I can't stay. Why did you want to meet me here?
Well, it's a face-saving maneuver, mostly. I didn't think Mr. Holden would appreciate my strolling back into Break Bar just to offer you a job at Capricorn.
You want to hire me for your club? That's really cool. A quick question, though. You want to hire me as what, a bartender or a spy?